Thank you. So my name is Pooja, and I'm from, until last week, I was the UN Advocacy Senior Program Officer at Forum Asia. Forum Asia is an Asian regional human rights NGO. We are membership-based. We have 46 members in 17 countries in Asia. And we count Asia as South Asia, Southeast Asia, and Northeast Asia. So we're not really looking at the Pacific, and we're also not looking at a lot of the Gulf countries, even though within the UN system, the Gulf countries are still considered to be Asia. I think you have already heard quite a bit about processes, and Paula did a really good job, I think, to talk about a lot of national experiences. I want to speak a little bit more about general perspectives from civil society in the Asian region, which we have found actually mirrors some of the views that are coming from civil society in the Global South on their experiences with the UPR now that we're coming into the second cycle. Basically what have been a lot of the benefits and also what have been some of the challenges. And it was really interesting, actually, the discussions that you were having before, and I will try to touch on some of that from the Asian experience, perhaps in my presentation. The first thing that I really want to outline is that the way that Asian organizations are really viewing the UPR process is, first of all, as a process that is ongoing. It doesn't sort of start and finish with the submission of reports, but it is a continuous exercise. And the second thing is that it is nationally rooted. It is a national process with a moment in Geneva, that the Geneva moment is but a moment that would help with their advocacy, but that also it doesn't start and finish with the working group session in Geneva as well. So firstly, I want to take you through a survey that we had done just before the second cycle of the UPR was about to start. And what we really wanted to do, this was really in the context of the review of the Human Rights Council, but we wanted to take stock, basically, of how civil society felt about the UPR as we were coming towards the end of the first cycle, and a lot of the Asian countries were looking to being reviewed again for the second time. So one of the questions that we'd asked, and before I go into this, I just want to say that we did this survey twice. We first did it with Asian organizations that are based at the national and the grassroots level. And then we also opened this up to civil society organizations in Latin America, in the MENA region, and also Western Africa and Eastern Africa. We didn't really have partners in Southern Africa or Central Africa. But we found that the responses mirrored very much the responses of the Asian organizations, and so then we consolidated the findings, and this is now kind of a consolidated set of figures from what we are now calling as a response from Global South organizations. So at the time, it was a newly created mechanism, and we asked really what, in their view, was the strength of the UPR. And so you will find that the primary response was that the UPR, it's taking a holistic approach. It's looking at all of the human rights issues of the country and all of the state's obligations. So in that sense, it's kind of creating an equal footing between civil, political, economic, social, cultural rights. It allows for... the UPR allows for a lot of recommendations to be taken from treaty body concluding observations, from special procedures recommendations as well. And there is a challenge in that, which I will come to in the end as well. Another very important point that needs to be taken into consideration is that the UPR, 20% of the participants said that the UPR enables the participation of all relevant stakeholders, including NGOs that do not have ECOSOC status.